Welcome to Developer Diaries with Ben Wilson in association with the All About Property Facebook group. Hello and welcome to the second episode of Developer Diaries in association with the All About Property Facebook group. Today I am joined by Katrina McAuliffe.
Hi.
Did I get your name right?
That's correct.
There we go. I've known her for years, but I still can't say her name.
It's a worry.
We're going to be talking all things design, specifically adding value through design in property development. And a couple of things just to get out of the way first. Firstly, this was supposed to be a monthly podcast. I was very ill in December, had COVID amongst other things, and so I couldn't record the second episode, this one, in December. So apologies, firstly, that it's taken almost 2 months to get the second episode out. That won't be the case. And I'm sure you all missed it in December when you were pining for it, I'm sure. That's the first thing. The other thing was, I came to the conclusion it was too long on the first episode. It was almost 2 hours long. To be fair, we were talking about all the lots and lots of points of property development, but to have a guest as well, we don't want to bore you senseless. So I've decided to split the podcast up, and we will now do one episode, which will be about one aspect of property development, such as this one. And then the next episode that follows that will be an interview with a property developer, a property investor, or a successful entrepreneur who's got a lot to give back and tell us. So that's sort of the housekeeping out the way. The first thing that I always talk about at the beginning of each episode, and will continue, is the market, the property market, and where things are, where I see things. I'm pleased to say that quite a lot of the things that I said I thought would happen in the first episode are now happening, so I don't look like a total idiot. They obviously, interest rates have continued to rise. They're now at 3.5%. Inflation has started to drop, which obviously was the desired effect of these interest rate rises. So I do think interest rates will continue to rise, unfortunately, and that will obviously slow the market. In central London, where I operate, I've seen prices drop by probably 5% as an average. That's not necessarily across all demographics, but if you were to average it out, I would say that's where we are. And I think the market in outside of London appears to be falling slightly more than that, as I thought it would. I've also found that the first-time buyer market in London is suffering more than the house market. So house markets across central London are still flying. People are buying. I think probably because they've got more money in the first place in terms of income, they're still able to buy. They've got bigger deposits, whereas the first-time buyer market is suffering more because of the smaller deposits and finding it harder to afford the, you know, paying 5% on a residential mortgage now, as opposed to 1.5-2% a year ago. So that's what we're seeing. As a business, it's impacted us. When Kwasi Kwarteng and Liz Truss got into government, they crashed the system, really. And we, as a development business, we actually had about £3 million of development funding pulled from us a week or two before we were due to complete on it, which was a real pain in the ass, because we had all these loans lined up that then weren't there. So I then spent the next sort of 5 or 6 weeks flurrying around trying to replace those loans with new lenders, which was very stressful. I've done it now and it was fine. But I think a lot of property development businesses probably will have had the same issue. And the lending pool of development lenders went from something like 50 or 60 down to about 10 or so. And now many of those lenders aren't offering fixed rate development loans and bridging loans. A lot of them are offering tracker rates, which is not ideal when you're trying to quantify your costs as a property developer. So that's how it's impacted us. And to be honest, how we're reacting to these changes, we are tending to look specifically in areas that are dollar driven areas. So places like South Kensington, St. John's Wood, Mayfair, Knightsbridge. We're looking to buy where in areas where people are really buying in dollars, because the pound is still so weak that we expect that those areas will be a little bit more bulletproof than those where there's less dollar money and you're reliant on the local or the national market as opposed to foreign buyers. So that's where I see things at the moment and how it's impacted our various businesses. Now we'll get on to the far more interesting part, as much as
that was very interesting.
Was it? Katrina would love to chat about interest rates all day, I'm sure. But the main reason for today is for us to talk about adding value through design.
Yeah.
As I say, Katrina, do you want to give a little bit of a background about yourself, what you're about?
Yeah, so obviously, like you said, we've known each other for a while now. I work with Ben at the Knight James Group, and we do all the sort of dressing of Ben's property, so home staging, with the aim to add value to those properties. And yeah, you're a great client, I've got to say. Very, very exciting.
I'll give you that fiver later.
Like, exciting. yeah, so I work for a company called Camrich, and yeah, we do sort of home staging and people that are moving into homes and need furniture quickly for rental.
But you're an interior designer for Camrich. So
yeah.
Somehow, as someone who was terrible at art school and had, as far as I was aware at school, no creative ability, has ended up owning a design business and designing loads of houses. I'm kind of masquerading as a designer. I'm not really one. I've got an eye for design, but I can't compete with the likes of Katrina.
You have, though, definitely. Like, some of your properties, the ones that we've worked on, obviously I work on so many, have some of the most detailed designs that we do.
Thank you.
So you definitely have got it. You don't have to study it.
No, self-taught. But I think one of the things about a lot of this podcast, there we go, I'll keep that one in because that's quite funny. A lot of the one of the most important things, sorry, about running a business is knowing when people are better at something than you. And as we, especially as we've grown as a business and gone from doing 400 grand flats to £5 million flats potentially this year, you need to know that there's people who are better than you.
You need to be able to delegate.
Yeah, and I wasn't the best delegator.
I'm getting
better. I'm a bit of a control freak. Yeah. I think most people in business are, but I'm learning to delegate more.
Yeah, because you used to originally...
I delegate to you. I try not
you
to
do?
Get
no,
involved.
You do? No, you're brilliant. I try. But you know me now, don't you?
Yeah,
you're
I know.
Just like, go in and do your thing. But I remember you said you used to dress them yourself, didn't you?
I used to dress all my own flats, and then I used to end up basically moving house like 8 times a year.
Yeah.
You'd move a house in, a show flat, and you'd move it out.
Yeah.
And then I had to have storage, and I just used to
move
get
it
so
around.
Hacked off with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, so I think the first thing we were going to talk about was... you know, what the current trends are in interior design. So probably you're the best place to talk about this.
Yeah.
What do you think?
So, I mean, what I can see, obviously I feel like I pick up on things that I like as well, but I think that everything, we are going to stay quite minimalist. Everything's kind of like white and like boucle at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Boucle is big and it's going to stay like that, but it's going to become even warmer. And in that sense, you know, we're going to keep it light, but there's going to be more focus on kind of like woods and textures and like luxury is going to come more in kind of like the materials that you're using.
Yeah.
So like marble will still be big, but there'll be like a massive focus on like the veining of the marble.
I feel like more veining like
more
arabescato, stuff like that. It, for years, it was like Carrara everywhere.
Yeah.
And do you know what else I think is coming back is limestone and travertine.
It's just those natural materials.
I was putting travertine in flats in like 2008.
Yeah.
And it was, and I was just getting the end of that. Yeah, everything was travertine like 2001, 2005.
Yeah.
And it kind of went. But people are bringing back more natural stone.
Yeah.
And I love natural stone.
Yeah.
It's a real pain to live with, but it looks amazing.
It looks amazing.
So I think
that's across everything. Like woods as well, like stronger wood grains. Essentially, the way that I'm seeing it is like you walk into somewhere and you just want to touch everything.
Yeah.
Like you just want to like go around.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and everything's kind of like softened as well.
A bit like you in a bar.
Yeah, just like clambering around. But that is what I see. Like raw materials, I focus on that. Maybe it's sort of leaning into like more craftsmanship, like looking at those kind of natural like elements.
And still lots of, I mean, big thing's been undulating walls and reeded, anything reeded. So like reeded glass, sculpture, reeded panelling, anything sculptural.
Just
that's
soft
big at
and
the moment.
Rounded.
Yeah.
And even kind of like doorways, I'm seeing a lot of people, you know, arch their doorways now, curve
I'm
their staircases.
I'm thinking of doing an arched metal door for my flat we live.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So expensive.
I know, I can imagine.
It's like double the price, triple the price of the door.
But yeah, even like staircases and then that kind of transfers into walls as well. So, you know, less painting. People are now sort of doing like movement walls. So plastering where they can, micro cementing. What's the finish that we use in your bathroom? The Bawek.
Yeah, we use a paint called Bawek Bone, which I mentioned
again,
last time.
Yeah, it just adds a bit of
which
movement.
We'll talk about as well in Tricks of the Trade.
Yeah.
But a bit of texture is a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Crittle's been done to death. I still use Crittle in like every other development I do. But I think it's moving away to coloured Crittle now, isn't
it?
Black days of
it's
Crittle
just
are.
Less, basically, we're going to do less chunky industrial Crittle.
Yeah.
And it's more like you still want the light to come through. But even white looks good. Like it doesn't
Yeah,
sound
yeah.
Like
and off-white,
look
I think,
nice.
Looks great with
and
Crittle.
And off-white.
Greens.
Or a nice
teal,
green. Yeah.
All of these sort of muted
everything
colors,
just softening a bit more but warming up.
All right, you've got me. I'm because we're about to refurbish a big flat on Hamilton Terrace, which is going to be one of the biggest properties we've ever done.
And we're that's the one. It looks like a ballroom, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's got it. It has a ballroom. It says on the lease plan ballroom.
Does it?
Yeah, it's amazing.
We should keep that.
I don't think we can afford to keep it. But we're going to put Crittle on. We're creating this breakfast room of views over the garden. And I think I'm now, after this conversation, black is going to be banned on the Crittle.
Black is banned. Just everything softer.
So, muted colours. So, maybe I'll go for a blue or a green. Yeah. I don't know. We can talk about that.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think the other thing I'm seeing a lot as well is it used to, parquet has been in for ages.
Yeah,
I've been using herringbone floors since like 2005.
Yeah,
I think. Mm-hmm. And but now like basket weave floors.
Are really
popular.
Again, it's just
more
that
intricate
sort of
flooring.
Yeah, exactly.
But also wide planks.
Yes, increase of like the detail in the wood grain. I think that's what that brings.
Yeah.
And it just feels a little bit more natural. But on the other end of the spectrum, long wide planks.
Sort of Scandi minimalist.
Scandi
as well.
Like raw, like feels really good. It's just like kind of you imagine walking around and just you know.
Well, I think when you look at the way flats are designed. Mm. You can tell when a flat's been done by a designer or an architect.
It's true,
by the fact often that they'll pick only three or four materials and they'll run that through the whole flat. So they might have arabescata marble, beech wood, and then whatever else. And whereas I think a lot of the time when developers are doing it, they don't have advice. They tend to just chuck more in. And I was definitely guilty of that. And I think we're a little bit more pared back now than we perhaps were two or 3 years ago. I mean, every time I do a project, a year later, if I look at it, I cringe.
Because
we're trying to always better our product.
Absolutely, and I do the same thing.
I'm just like, I hate it. I can't believe I did it like that. But everyone's like, it's so nice. I'm like, no, I hate it.
Yeah, no, I'm exactly the same.
And it's good, though. You've got to be self-critical.
You do.
Not too critical.
Sometimes with staging as well, like, you want to, not be too specific to the trends that are going on that time for that exact reason. Yeah. Like, you don't want it to date so quickly.
Yeah.
And it'll be the same with the interiors as well.
I mean, and part of, we're going to, this is very much aimed at developers and not developers, but anyone who likes property, but people who want to get into developing, young people trying to get into developing. And sort of some of the tricks of the trade we use, I think you've got to obviously make sure you're designing to your market that you're selling to, which I banged on about last time as well. And I think, for example, if you're doing a flat at the cheaper end of the market, say a £200,000 or £300,000 flat, you don't need to spend 20-30 grand on a kitchen to make it look amazing. You can go to Howden, spend £2,000 or £3,000on the carcasses, and just put in a very nice worktop, and put in some decent entry level sort of Siemens or Bosch. They're all made in the same factory anyway. So you've got the brand name, but you're not paying £1,000 for the oven. Mm-hmm. You're paying £500-600.
Yeah.
And you can make a small kitchen look really quite amazing for £8,000-10,000.
Yeah, and it's probably more just takes you more time just to think out the different elements to bring in.
Yeah.
But it saves you money.
Yeah, I mean, generally, you're right. I mean, another thing that you can do to save money is rather than going for much smaller tiles when you're tiling, go for bigger format tiles. Mm-hmm. There comes a point when it gets more expensive when you buy meter by meter tiles because they're really pain and difficult to lay.
Mm.
But if you're buying 600 by 600 tiles and 800 by 800 tiles, it will cost you a lot less generally than if you're putting in mosaics and you've got to pay someone to be there for days on end putting tiny tiles or sheets of tiles up.
More
so that's a good way to save money. Another thing, LED lighting strips, really easy, cheap way.
Effective as well.
Very effective.
Just make sure they're warm.
Warm white.
None of that cool.
Cool white is like an operating theatre generally. And there are certain times.
You don't want to be on an airport, right?
Yeah, I think sometimes in a utility room, for example, it's handy to have it because it's a better light to work under.
Yeah,
But I think warm white is obviously just
more flattering.
Yeah, more flattering, because you can see less of you.
To us and to the interior.
Yeah. So we use loads of LED strips. You can buy them for like 50 quid, 100 quid. I mean, they've got the drivers to add to that, which costs a bit more. They're like 70 quid or 50 quid.
Mm.
But you can, for like £1,000 across a whole flat, you can do quite a lot of LED strip lighting and totally transform it.
It just makes it look so much more high-end.
And I think one thing people don't think about is when they're selling. So when I'm selling a flat, when I'm developing it, I think about when it's going to be sold. Mm. So what time of year.
Yeah.
So if you're selling a flat in between like November and February, it gets dark in the UK at like 5 p.m., 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So most buyers are going to view at least once in the evening when it's totally dark. So you need to think about that. If you're selling in the summer, it doesn't matter so much that you haven't got all this incredible lighting in the garden because no one's going to see it probably.
Mm-hmm.
But in the winter, you need to have it. So a little bit of a tip there on make sure you know, I mean, and allow for the fact you're probably going to go 2 or 3 months late on your project as well. So you may think you're going to be done in spring and actually you're done in like November.
No, that's a really good point. You did some really nice sort of like uplighting in the last property that we did in the garden, which looked really good. And also...
Midhurst.
Yeah. And I would say that like that also transfers to the insides. If they're going to be viewing in the evenings, you need lots of mood lighting.
Yeah, yeah.
Floor lamps, table lamps, and also get the agent to turn them all on.
So one thing that really bugs me is when we... depending on the value of the property we're developing, we will put in smart home systems. Generally, if I'm doing a single unit, like a flat over 2 million, we'll put in smart home.
Yeah.
Anything less than 2 million, we won't tend to. Mm-hmm. If it's a house, generally over like 2.5, 3 million, we will. Mm. And the good thing about smart homes is you can have what I call the estate agent button, and you can have one button on the wall that you press and it sets all of the feature lighting up exactly how
Amazing.
I set it.
Yeah.
And then whenever I meet the agents, I'm like,
just press the
don't
button.
Press any other fucking button.
Just press the
just
main
press
one.
The estate agent button ready. And it comes on and everything looks great. And then, but then what happens is someone can't get it off and then they press another button. Yeah. And then
I've done some properties previously as well, and they go as far to like light all the candles.
Yeah, yeah.
Shake up the diffusers.
Don't light the candles if you're not
Don't light the candles if you're not
there. Don't burn the house down when you just built it.
Everyone responds to a nice
exactly. So I think something else that we were talking about is importance of finish.
You said number one, like sort of good decorators and that sort of snagging and getting it very tight.
Yeah, a decorator can hide a multitude of sins. Yeah. Like a plasterer, you need a good plasterer in this business, and if you have a crap plasterer, the decorator will hate you and charge you thousands of pounds more to, because filler can only go so far. Like filler on top of plaster, you can see the difference in the finish. Filler is a lot more grainy, whereas plaster isn't. So we always try to have good decorators, because if there is a problem, the decorator can normally, with a bit of extra money and a bit of time, sort it out. One thing I always think about is buyers only, and I may have mentioned this in the last one, buyers only view that flat before they buy for like maybe 30 minutes before they put the offer in.
Yeah.
They might do a 5 or 10 minute first viewing, go, oh, I love it, can I bring my husband back?
Yeah.
Come back with the husband for 20 minutes, then they make their offer. They've probably only walk around on like a circuit around the house.
Mm. But so if they spot one thing,
then that's it. And that's what you're trying to avoid. Yeah. And buyers think in like $5,000 increments. They don't, if they see that there's a dent in a wall or damage, they're not going to go, oh, that's probably 50 quid because my mate Mick can fix it.
No.
They're going to be like, I don't know anyone to fix it.
Yeah.
So look, let's chip $5,000 off in our heads.
Yeah.
And that's why offers go from being $500,000 asking price to like $475,000 or $450,000 because people have seen 5 or 10 things that they think, oh, I'm going to have to go through the hassle. Especially if you're selling a product that's immaculate in theory.
Yeah. Yeah.
That buyer that buys that property probably doesn't want to do even small works. Otherwise, they would buy a doer-upper themselves.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, they want to move in and they want it to be done. Exactly. I mean, on the other hand of that, we do have a lot of, like, I work with a lot of clients where sometimes they're doing properties that haven't been completely refurbished and done. They're not looking great. And then they want to use the staging element to kind of, like, buff out those things. So sometimes it's like you know,
a huge rug,
4 meter
rug in a 4.5 meter room.
A little bit annoying, but like, you know, just sort of using the dressing to take the edge off anything that looks a little bit.
Generally whenever we finish a project and like on the last day when we walk off site, I tend to spend about 1 hour, 2 hours just walking around, just looking, because I'm so bloody happy that it's finished.
Yeah.
Because you get to a stage in projects where you feel like nothing's changing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, until carpet goes down, it looks a bit shitty anyway. Because even if you've got new plywood down, it doesn't look great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I tend to walk around and I always think if it looks fantastic empty, once it's dressed,
it's going to look amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And you are, I will credit you for that. You are very good at that. You're very meticulous.
I'm very anal about every little detail. I drive everyone mad at work.
But then I'm the same, like with my role and what I do in it. Like, I cannot even see something like a centimeter off.
So, like, on all of our, whenever my Sparkies, my electricians, they do the sockets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll go around with the level.
Oh, you're terrible.
I will make sure all the screw heads are. Normally we use screwless plates.
Just completely level.
But if the screws aren't level, I make them change them.
It's good though. Like, why?
Yeah, because it's just small things. If you see 100 annoying things like that when you walk around one property, it adds up to being like one or two big things in people's heads.
Definitely.
You know, so that's something we do. Mm-hmm. One thing I've been talking about a lot is spend versus the value of the property. So when I say that, what I mean is obviously, if a flat's worth 200,000, you're not going to spend 150,000 doing it up.
Mm.
I mean, it'd be an amazing flat, probably. Mm. But you need to spend, what's going to get you the most money relative to the asking price of the property. So we will be, we obviously want to do a great job on everything we build. But for example, we won't put a Miele, we won't generally put a Miele oven in an £800,000 flat. We'll put a good oven in, we'll put a very good oven in, we'll put a Siemens oven in that costs £800 or £900. But we won't put a £2,500 oven in.
Yeah.
You know, if we're doing a flat for £4 million, we'll put a Miele or probably a Gaggenau oven in, which might cost £5,000. But it's expected at that price point.
Relative to, you know, so
but equally buyers are really informed now. Like they've got great podcasts like this to listen to
absolutely.
And teach them all about design. And but in all seriousness, they stay in nice hotels. People even people that may not go to a five-star hotel regularly, for special occasions, they'll go to a five-star hotel. They'll see good design. They'll know what they like. And the days are gone of like lazy development where people would just do crap kitchens, same old crap floors. You know, I think people are much more informed than they were 10, 15 years
ago. Their expectations are high.
Yeah, and I go on.
Yeah, I was going to say it's the same with the furniture. So you know where you're looking at the types of ovens you're putting in.
Yeah, yeah.
They're the same with like the furniture. So you know, if you're presenting a certain type of property, like very high end value, they expect what you're putting in there to reflect that. Like from brands to like materials and what you're using. It's a specific level.
Yeah. Well, I should say that one of the services that Katrina's company offers is that they will do custom pieces.
Yeah.
So on our sort of bigger projects, when we've got a longer lead in of like 4 or 5 months, we'll get custom pieces made. So we might get some tub chairs made in like a beautiful teal fabric or I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, just to make it extra sort of bespoke and special and unique to that property.
Yeah, exactly. I think we've probably worked on about 10 projects together now.
I think so, yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. And I'm always like, and now I have to say, I have to shout out to Cherie.
I
can't say any of their names right. Cherie as well, because she's been great as well.
She's a great
I don't want her to leave her out, and she won't.
No, again. Absolutely. I'll let her know she got a shout out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, hopefully she'll listen to Katrina.
Oh, yeah.
So you won't need to tell her. One big thing as well, because we tend to do mainly period conversions. Yeah. We occasionally buy purpose builds, but for a number of reasons, I'm not a big fan of buying them. The people that live in them tend to be quite difficult, let's just say, in terms of change. They tend to be a bit older, so it's hard to get your licensed alters. But also, I just prefer working with high ceilings, volume, and period features. And even in areas where the average price is cheaper, having good period features in the UK, especially with UK buyers, is a massive value add.
Yeah.
And depending on what we're refurbishing, if we're doing a flat for £500,000, let's say in London, we may just do the cornicing and put a ceiling rose in. If we were doing a flat £2 or £3 million, we'll do full wall paneling in plaster.
Yeah.
We'll do ornate, you know, wallpaper on the ceilings in anaglypta.
Yeah.
So I think it's always worth doing restoration. So I use a professional plaster specialist for the period installations that we do, so cornicing and ceiling roses. But if you're looking to do it on a budget and not spend £1,000 a room on cornicing, which is probably what we spend, you can just go to somebody like victoriancornice.com, someone I used to use a lot, or you can go to even B&Q.
Yeah.
There's different types of cornicing. You can get the plaster stuff, which is expensive, really easy to break. Don't leave it on site for long because your builders will smash it up. Or you can get like I think it's GRP stuff. It's like composite, but it's very cheap. It's like 20-30 quid a length,
and it adds so much, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's much easier to cut, so when you're mitering it, it doesn't all just crumble and fall apart. You need quite a skilled builder to do plaster cornicing.
I think it adds so much value because I feel like, you know, when we went through a period where people were just producing like white boxes and they stripped any character out, so like that's why character is one of the number one things that people say to me, like, can you dress this property because I need to add some character.
I hate it when period features are taken out, but what's interesting is when you sort of go up through the price ranges and there's other buyer demographics, so you know different nationalities often have different things that they like, often a lot of non-UK buyers, actually, they're not bothered, they don't really understand some of them, not all of them, I'm not generalizing all of them, but some of them don't really get the whole frilly, why do we want this 200-year-old cornice? We just want to have like a LED box in our ceiling that's, and you know, that can look cool, but sometimes I go into like these amazing flats and they're like, oh, do you like our LED trough?
And I'm
like,
and it's
it's great.
Yeah.
You've ripped out like cornicing.
I find it very
irreplaceable.
Distressing.
No.
Irreplaceable.
Absolutely. So yeah, period features, make sure that you make the most of them. 100%. But they are expensive to restore. So do it in a smart way, like we say. Lighting.
Yes. So yeah, I mean, lighting is so important. Like we were saying earlier, like, I mean, there's not a wall light that is not in a scheme now. That is like a given now.
Yeah, yeah. In the living room, you mean?
And bedside. Also natural lighting is so important. And again, you've done a few where you've brought that in, and I just think it absolutely transforms the space.
Yeah, we try to get, we're working on a really interesting flat at the moment on Sutherland Avenue, which will be the next flat that Katrina addresses and Cherie.
Yep.
And that, it's a very unusual flat because both the bedrooms are internal.
Yeah.
The second bedroom sits underneath the kitchen and has a crittle, black crittle window, but I've put in like soundproof glazing and an electric blind, so it will be, it's like a little pod.
Yeah.
But I figured for a second bedroom in a relatively small flat of 900 square foot, it's going to be a guest bedroom or a study.
But so, just the fact you added that panel just to let that little bit of light in, it makes
Well, it would have been horrible.
It would have been.
I couldn't have legally called it a bedroom.
Yeah.
You need to have a window. So, and then the master bedroom, or the principal bedroom, I should say, you're not supposed to say master bedroom anymore.
Yeah.
The principal bedroom, it has like a corridor behind it, which is actually, I've turned into a winter garden.
Yeah.
So it's got full height at all. Again, with an electric blind, acoustic glass, and then, although it doesn't have a direct window opening to outside, I have put a little one at the top, so you could still have air coming through.
Yeah, it's lovely.
But it actually works quite well. We've used this really cool checkerboard, green and white checkerboard, like Soho House style tiles.
Yeah,
and then we're going to have a little outdoor table and chairs that can be taken outside. You've got direct access down to the garden, and then we've built this little bar as a feature.
But just really add having that light and that glass, just even when you're in the living room, just completely opens it, doesn't it?
I mean, light is so important.
Yeah.
And I think, wherever you can add in skylights, do. Another great thing about skylights is they increase head height. So often when I've worked, when I put bathrooms in eaves spaces, in lofts, I'll put in a skylight so that I get an extra like 200 mil of head height.
Yeah.
So if you want to, if you put in a toilet, stick it under the skylight. Especially if you're a man, you're standing up going, perfect.
Yeah.
Bang your head.
Yeah.
Silly little things.
Yeah.
But you learn, over the years, you learn them and you get stuck. And
difference.
Then you're like, actually, skylight there. Now someone can actually use
and
the toilet.
And it's solved. Yeah. And you've completely transformed that room.
So that's a secondary thing with skylights. We use a lot of glazing.
Yeah.
If we do, we tend to use what I call low profile glazing. So very low sight line. So it's more expensive because obviously it has to be stronger if it's got less metal.
Yeah.
But we will use a very thin glazing bar.
And it just looks higher end though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's less clunky and it makes a difference.
I think an aluminium enables you to have very 20 mil sight lines. Whereas I've got to put wooden glazing on my flat or our flat where I live with my other half. And I'm trying to find someone who makes like a low profile wooden one. I can't find one anywhere.
Yeah.
It's difficult. There might be someone.
Maybe in 2023.
Maybe I should just buy Ali
a trend
and just pad it.
I
don't think that'll work.
Yeah.
And I think the planners will be listed. much glass as you can. It's expensive. Something I learned becoming a developer is anything that's curved is expensive.
Yeah.
And anything with glass in it is expensive.
Yeah. So 2023 is going to be expensive.
Yeah.
Because they're curving everything.
Yeah, curves are everywhere, apparently. I mean, the other thing with light is the orientation of the room.
Mm-hmm.
So I always feel that if a room's really bright, then it can be. Mm-hmm. It can be darker.
Yes.
So I put a very dark floor in Sutherland Avenue. It's like a blacky brown floor.
Yeah.
But it looks so luxurious.
And people just think it's going to... People always think that it's going to make a space feel smaller, but, like, it doesn't.
No.
It
kind not if of it's done like, well.
Not if it's done well, and it anchors a room. And if you've got lighting right,
yeah,
it actually makes it feel a lot bigger.
Yeah. Like, dark, like deep blues, deep greens.
Deep blues, deep
especially
blues.
If you're going to pop the windows with the lighter colour and the doors and all of the
it just
joinery.
It means it doesn't feel heavy.
The
worry is if you go too dark on everything, then it's going to feel, you know, dingy.
Yeah.
But with the light there.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to do my living room in like a dark, I think probably a dark blue of some sort.
Oh, very nice.
I don't know. I just want it to feel like a bit womb-like.
You know?
And then the kitchen can be super bright. It's going to have loads of glass everywhere.
Yeah.
But then I want the living room to be like.
That's a good way of describing it, actually. Womb-like.
There you
That is what I think
you can tell
are
I used to be
for.
An estate agent.
Yeah. But that is true.
Welcome to your womb-like living room.
I was going to say earlier, actually, like with the painting and things like that, what I've noticed people are doing as well is wrapping the paint all around the ceilings in smaller properties where you haven't got the height.
Yeah.
Again, just a subtle natural colour but all around the room.
Just going straight up. And you can do the cornicing and the skirting in the same colour.
If you've not got a high ceiling,
off-white. Yeah.
Everything the same colour and it really looks good.
Yeah, no, I once had one thing I've always found more difficult to do in design is I think choosing paint colours is actually really difficult because they're everywhere.
And you don't
know
until you've painted it, right?
The good thing is it's cheap relatively, so you can repaint a room for like £500 if you cock it up.
Yeah.
But I got one. I was doing this flat in South Kensington, yeah. Queensgate Place.
Yes.
And yeah. I get that, you know, when I say about knowing what your limits are, I was like, it's yeah. the first flat I've done at like yeah. 2.3 million quid. Mm. So I got I paid 150 quid for a little green colour consultant.
Yes.
Called Emily. But if worth you're listening, it. She was great.
Worth it.
And she came up with some great ideas, mm. stuff I would never have thought mm. about.
And it's all like where the yeah. house is facing, where the lights come
in. She was giving me all, she was from Paris. She was giving me all these like great ideas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that really, you know, gave me a bit of an education on yeah. paint, but I find paint really difficult. I'm working on a client project really recently, sorry, mm. and their advisor gave them colours, and they wanted all the windows painted in the same colour as this pink wall.
Oh, interesting.
And I rang the client and I said, look, I know she's a paint specialist, but yeah. this is wrong. Like, yeah. And then we changed all the I was very quite strong about it. And I very rarely would be. It's their
you
house.
You do like colour, though.
I love colour, but you don't want George, like,
no.
Early Victorian sashes at full height.
You feel like it was just like sacrilege. Like
no, it looked like someone had just come in and just painted everything. Any, like, I was surprised the decorator wasn't there covered in paint.
Yeah.
So we changed it to like a nice creamy colour.
Nice.
And now it pops. And,
yeah.
You know, really, you want to show off the period features.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Sash windows are one of the most beautiful things that you yeah. can have in a yeah. flat.
You especially, don't want to blend them, do you know what I mean?
No, you want them to stand out.
You want them to highlight.
We tend to make our woodwork, our joinery pop a little bit more.
Yeah.
So we'll do a lighter colour on the walls and a slightly darker, like a Portland stone on the joinery. Yeah. And like we use linen wash by Little Green a lot.
Yeah, that's nice.
Try not to use it all the time because it's really easy to be safe. And
yeah.
Like, you've got to keep improving and upping your game.
Yeah, yeah, and try new yeah. things. You know, that's how you yeah. learn.
So another thing we should talk about is focal points.
Yeah.
And there, I think whenever I'm designing a room, because although Katrina does the interior design of the dressing, I do the interior design generally always up until now, of the actual sort of structure.
Like layouts and structure.
Layouts. So like layouts I'm good at because I was an agent for a long time. So I've seen so many reactions to so many different layouts.
Yeah.
So we're quite good, I think, at squeezing out every little inch of square footage.
Yeah.
Yeah, in terms of focal points, fireplaces, like we try to put them in wherever we can.
Yeah.
They're so expensive now. They're like we get salvage ones for like $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 each.
Yeah, and that is becoming quite popular. Like,
and that's not working. When you get them working, it's another $4,000 to run a chimney.
Yeah, oh don't. I had a client recently that did that. He was like, I got it for a really good price.
Yeah.
And then $2,000 to get it.
We don't tend to have working fireplaces in our developments. We do sometimes.
Yeah.
It just depends on the development.
It's
but
just a nice
most buyers don't care that they work or not. They just want a stunning
look.
Fire.
Yeah.
And most people aren't going to come to their bedroom.
No.
And like at 11 o'clock.
Yeah. They just want the dress. It's almost like a dress blind. And it's a really nice way where you can mix again a few different textures. You can get iron in there. You can get a bit of marble in there. You can get a bit of wood in there.
Yeah.
But again, it just has to be like, you know.
So we're on this flat we're doing in Hamilton Terrace, we're going to put in, we've got two beautiful fireplaces in the ballroom. Unfortunately, we're going to have to move one for the kitchen,
I hate removing,
of course we are, yeah.
But
I hate removing fireplaces. So we're going to keep it in the house and we're going to put it in bedroom two. So if anyone ever wanted to take the kitchen out and put the fireplace back,
they could,
and we wouldn't have damaged the house.
I like that.
I was really
that's good.
My designer was like, get rid of it.
Are they similar?
I was like, no.
Well? Are they similar?
They're exactly the same.
Yeah, on that side.
So we'll keep it. And then in bedroom one, we're going to get like a black with white vein marble
beautiful
art deco square sort of inserts around.
Love
like
it.
One gets bigger after the other.
Very nice.
And I think that's very on trend. It's
that vein marble. Viola, like the dramatic one.
So what other things have we done then in terms of,
We've done bonquettes. And again, that's also a very, I like the one that you did in the window as well, just like utilising loads of different spaces.
Yeah, we'll show that in a minute when we do our picture slides
but
that
also,
you can't see because you're listening on a podcast.
Yeah. But again, like bonquettes, I mean, they're just amazing for also making the space feel quite like social. You save space, number one, which always looks good.
I love a bonquette.
You can add a curve if you want.
Everyone loves a good bonk.
Yeah. And also, you can add a material in there, which I really like. Like, again, like a nice velvet. Like the one you're using, again, really rich navy one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I wanted like this, because this is obviously, this backdrop's like navy.
Yeah.
I really wanted indigo. I'm very colour driven.
Yes, you are.
I was very much like fluoro orange about 5 years ago. Like,
yeah.
I did my RSJ in my flat in fluoro orange. It looks sick.
Yeah. I need to see
I'll send it to you. You're going to love it. Trust me. And then, but now I'm like indigo everything. So I'm going to sell my car and buy an indigo
car. Nudier, like,
I've already got an indigo car lined
rich
up.
Colours, yeah. Rich colours.
Yeah, I colours. Just like things that pop a little
you
bit.
Do,
you know, but
yeah.
when I develop, I won't put much of that in because you're trying to attract a number of markets potentially.
Yeah, but sometimes I think that really works with your developments because, like I was saying, you do have a very strong brief of who you're selling to.
Yeah.
So even when, like, I'll call Ben up and he'll tell me about his next project and he'll be like, okay, this couple's going to be mid-30s. They might have a dog, but they might not have kids yet.
Normally we like, get it right.
It'll be like a very, like, specific. Yeah. And it's weird because it normally is like...
Yeah,
normally
you just know that we know that our markets, we've operated the markets so long. Yeah. So for example, in North Kensington, if you're selling anything below like 1.25 million in North Ken, it's almost certainly going to be a wealthy family that buys it for their children.
Yeah.
But like 80% of the time, it's like North Ken is like
where
the trustafarians buy their flats generally. Sometimes Notting Hill, but it's a bit cheaper than Notting Hill.
Yeah.
It's still very cool. It's a bit more edgy. You've got Goulburn Road, you've got Portobello.
Mm.
So it's cooler. It's a bit cooler than Notting Hill,
but
it's not as expensive.
Yeah.
And so like there, when we did the loft apartment on Oxford Gardens, we did like a loft that we would do in East London.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it specifically because we sold it at the asking price, I think. We sold it for 900 grand.
Yeah. But it was like quite specific, wasn't it?
We did
like,
bricks. We did brick slips. I would never do brick slips normally, ever.
And you were like, it needs to be more edgy. It needs to be a bit cooler.
We did a blue kitchen. We actually show some pictures of it in a minute.
Yeah. So like that I think is quite good. And because you have that sort of strong essence of who you're selling to before you're doing it and while you're designing it and you pass that on to us, I think that's why it really works. And you can push the design a bit further.
Yeah.
Like you're good with colour and you use it.
Yeah.
Not everyone will.
We tend
to
do pops. So we'll use a neutral backdrop.
Yeah.
We might have a wall that's got cladding on it or whatever.
Yeah.
But we'll do lots of colour in the cushions, the furnishings.
It's not too much. It's just
bathrooms.
Specific.
You'll see
in our
stuff that we show in a minute. I mean, there's so many. I'm always looking at other people's work and there's some amazingly talented designers out there and developers who are doing some really, like, people like Banda Property.
I love Banda.
So if you're listening,
I agree.
Give me a commission.
I agree.
That I think they're probably the best design-wise, the best developer in London.
Mm.
Finn Chatton as well.
Mm.
I have to say that because we've now got a connection to Finn Chatton. But Finn Chatton as well. But Banda in particular, being a smaller business, they're superb and their stuff's amazing. And they are like 3 years ahead of all the trends.
Yeah.
So.
And I just think every picture that I see them do release of their latest project is like iconic.
But you like autumnal.
I do, but
I'm less of a fan of autumnal. Oh, we had a bit of an autumnal thing and a project. I was like, no more autumnal.
I'm more muted.
Yeah. I like a bit more colour.
You like it a bit bolder.
Yeah, but it did look nice. And we'll show some pictures of it, as I say. But Banda do a lot of like muted greens and yellows and like mustard yellows.
It just
yellows
feels very like conceptual.
Brown.
Well,
they use a lot of brown. I think using brown to good effect is quite difficult.
Yes.
Like you can really quickly fuck it up.
Yeah.
But they use brown amazingly well.
And actually, one of my favourite designers who I think she used to work at Banda is Katie Harbison, and she's gone off on her own now.
Uh-huh.
And she is incredible, absolutely. So you have to look her up afterwards. She works a lot in America.
I wonder if they've Banda from The Office.
Wait,
right.
That
sorry, that was terrible, but I like a dad joke. Anyone knows me knows I like a dad joke. I think the last thing to talk about, we'll talk about dressing, which is Katrina's speciality, but outside space.
Yeah.
Particularly in London, like, outside space is such an important thing to have in a property. And there are probably, I don't know, 25 to 50% of buyers who will not view stuff without outside space.
Mm.
When I was an agent, used to ring them and say, I've got this amazing flat. Has it got a balcony? No.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it. No,
yeah.
Come and see it. It's amazing. No, it hasn't got a balcony.
Mm.
So since COVID and people have worried more, even more about outside space, we generally won't buy something without outside space, especially if it's a big flat. If it's a one-bedroom flat, like under £1 million in London, we would buy it. If it's £3 million flat in London with no outside space, I wouldn't touch it with a barge pole unless it was exceptional.
Yeah.
Like double height ceilings and double width.
Mm.
You know, I just think you can get stuck with things. And when the market turns, like it has a little bit, anything that makes a flat illiquid to sell, you want to avoid.
Yeah.
So outside space is really important. And one thing, if you remember Linden Gardens, the flat we did, we bought a flat in Linden Gardens. Mm. It was being sold by the estate of the freeholder. And it had a balcony at the front, and it had an old doorway that had been there for 30 years onto a flat roof with no balustrading around it. And I knew that because it had been there more than 4 years, they couldn't make me get rid of that door. And I could create a terrace.
A little terrace. So it was lovely though, wasn't it?
It was lovely. And we'll show pictures of it.
It was
and
really nice.
So what I did is I made a condition of the offer when I bought it that they had to, we also found out there was a bit of hallway that linked that rear terrace area, to the main flat. So we actually got it linked, got the freeholders to allow us to do it. And then we had a first floor flat with front and rear terraces, which is very rare. Like you rarely get flats in London that have outside space on both sides of them.
Yeah.
Maybe one in 20, one in 50 might have it, probably one in 50. And so we got that. And then the next problem was, well, it didn't have planning for anything there. Yeah. So I then, to get around that, this is, I'm telling you the naughty things of property development, I put in a load of planters, full height planters, which was my balustrading.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, because they're not fixed down. Yeah. so I put them round everywhere. Yeah. And then, of course, the local authority got about 20 calls from all the neighbours backing onto that terrace going, they put an illegal terrace out there.
Wow.
The planning officer came round. Mm. She just came round. She went, you know exactly what you've done.
Yeah.
And I went,
I don't need to be here.
And she was like, you know, we can't make you remove them. I was like, yeah, I know. And I said, can I just get that in writing?
Oh, stop.
So she sent me a letter saying, we can confirm that, you know, we won't make, we're not going to be taking enforcement. So that was it. We had our terrace. And because I had the letter, it was a proper terrace there.
Very nice.
And because it was demised by that point, because the freeholders had said it could be.
Yeah.
It added
too late.
It probably added a 50 to 100 grand to the value of the flat.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a big, like, it was
just
a
little
nice
planning
space.
Play. Yeah. Now, there are things, you know, and there was nothing naughty that was done.
No,
it's just knowing the rules of what you're allowed and what you can't do.
And that's probably like tricks of the trade as well, like knowing that. And you knew that as soon as you viewed it.
Yeah.
You said, I want to do that with it.
Well, on our Midhurst Avenue house that we sold recently, there was an old balustrade that was there, which we replaced like for like, which it had been there 40 or 50 years, that balustrade.
Yeah.
You would never have got planning to put that there.
Yeah.
Now, the buyers that bought it might possibly use it as a terrace up there.
But who's to say?
I can't stop them.
I can't confirm or deny.
Let's just say we made it look nicer than we would have done if it was a normal roof.
You made it suggestive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, dear.
So, I mean, we've had a good old chat today. I think the main thing you wanted to talk about, though, was dressing.
Yeah.
This is your area of speciality.
Yeah, and specifically for
Talk
to you. Okay. So, like, obviously, in the specific terms of adding value straight away, I mean, the main sort of questions that I get asked is, like, bedrooms, storage. Has it got storage? Can you show storage? Can you show space for storage? I mean, you're a bit of a dream because you always do your fitted wardrobes.
You've got to. Fitted wardrobes, that's important.
But like
thing.
A lot of people will maybe sometimes skip that step, but I do think
You know why? Because it's expensive.
I know.
But in London, you've got
to
do it.
It's quite crucial. You have to, because sometimes you're looking at a room and, you know, our element is to sort of show you and visualise that space. The people need the storage.
Yeah. I should say, just in terms of cost of storage,
because
we were supposed to talk about this earlier and we skipped over it. If I put in wardrobes and say someone like Neatsmith, you know, you pay £1,500 to £2,500 a metre for wardrobes, which obviously is a lot, but their wardrobes are beautiful. They're a great company to work with if anyone wants to have a good high-end wardrobe company. But you can also get if you've got a good carpenter, they can build them on site, use like oak faced MDF or walnut faced MDF on the insides, spray the outsides, put on really sexy handles.
Yeah.
Great way of creating expensive looking wardrobes.
Yeah.
And also if you even want to go one step cheaper than that, you can go to IKEA,
buy
the carcasses, I don't know, what are they called?
Packs,
what are the
carcasses.
IKEA wardrobes called?
Like the packs
Linton Pinkle or something.
Yeah. I've done it.
Yeah.
And then you
packs,
extend
that's it.
You extend them to Linton the ceiling Winkle. And then you add on the expensive handles.
Yeah, and then you can trim around them to make them look fitted.
Make them look fitted.
Yeah.
It works, and I just think in terms of adding value, it is the number one thing that people say to me straight away.
Yeah.
It's the number one thing that I ask Excuse people me. As well. Like if an agent calls me or a developer calls me, I'm like, what are we working
You're very
with?
Good with like the bed design. Like I always find one thing I've always struggled with is making beds look amazing.
Yeah.
And really to make a bed look amazing, you have to add like 50 cushions.
There is 50 cushions.
Which is a
but
total
also,
bloody nightmare to live with because you literally get into bed, you're like
Yeah. Do you know what though? Trend wise though, that is reducing. It's
good.
Not less about the cushions, but loads and loads of
That's
layers
why you have
the
divan
the
drawers for all of your cushions.
Yeah, all the cushions. And then, but it is kind of like, it's a real, I really actually enjoy making the beds. Like,
yeah.
I do have
you can make my bed every day.
Yeah,
as well.
I know, I said, I laugh all the time. I'm on site, I'm doing the dressing, and they're like, oh, do you do this at home? And I'm you should see my bed at home. Just chucked but layers.
Layers, yeah?
Layers. So
a bit
it's
like
all
fashion,
different
right?
textures. Like, yeah, it is. Yeah. It is like putting an outfit together,
really
and it's
there.
Like putting your makeup on. Like, you're picking sort of elements that you want to highlight. So on a bed, you know, linen's really in at the moment. So a nice, yeah, yeah. And that texture, and then mix that maybe with a bit of mohair to add a little bit more luxe.
Mohair.
Yeah. Ooh. Nice. Like just building up those different textures.
Nice. And how many cushions are we going for? Six?
No.
No, at least now, 10.
No. I'm trying to strip back with this.
To eight. Yeah. Eight. She's going to have eight. Four and on each side.
Again, there's
that much room on the end to sleep.
And then in terms of the cushions, one thing I always look at, even the pillows, you really have to look at whether you had them upright or downright. I know that sounds really stupid.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
If you have a lower headboard, or like in one of the projects that we're going to look at later,
we
just had a divan base with a panelled wall behind it. So you want to have the cushions down so that the cushions in front pop up. If you have a high headboard, then raise those cushions up and it makes it feel a lot more elevated.
No, talking about this, headboards, I use a company. I like to mention like good suppliers of mine.
Yeah.
I want them to get business. I mean, obviously we have tens of thousands of people listening to this every month.
Yeah. So can't keep up with the demand.
You know, we use a company called the Leicester Headboard Company.
Yeah.
And they're like a very small company up in Leicester. Obviously, they make headboards. It's all in the name.
Yeah.
And but they're great. They're great. They're reasonable. Yeah. They do a good job. I've never had a problem. I've never had to send a single item back for them in like. And I've used them on and off for like 10 years.
Yeah. And again, it just adds that bespoke element
to
it.
So we're now using, we're doing, for example, in Sutherland, we're doing, coughing. In Sutherland, we're doing smaller, sort of half a meter high individual, like 15 of them.
Yeah.
Little like soldiers almost.
Yeah, very nice.
It looks so good.
Yeah.
I mean, once you've got, we use bronze fittings.
Yeah.
Which we cut into the headboard.
Yeah, yeah, lovely.
Although when you're doing that, you've got to be careful that you can't get hands in the back because kids can get electrocuted.
Yeah.
That's something we realised. No kids got electrocuted.
Yeah, but, no one was harmed.
But we could see when you have the undulating paneling, like I'll show in a minute, we could see that you could get a finger down.
Right, yeah, you
so
can't have
you
that.
Need to make sure it's sealed. Yeah. So that's a top safety tip.
Yeah, and again, that really adds value because I think that having the built-in headboards, the fitted lights, the light sockets built in, it gives that hotel feel.
It is.
And that is
a
what
five-star
people
hotel
and
look.
That's where
is what we're after,
from.
Really.
Yeah, exactly.
But more practical, probably.
But yeah, probably more practical. Yeah. But yeah, in terms of adding value, what are the other things that I ask for? Probably it's, you know, I will always call Ben and be like, okay, who are you selling to? He gives me his accurate Mystic Meg. And then I'll sort of also, you know, I'll ask developers and clients to talk about the property to me to see what they're like focusing on. So you'll tell me if you've got kind of like the natural features, if you've got double height ceilings, what sort of elements you've got on. And then I am working my scheme around what you're trying to highlight.
Yeah, so
if
you're saying sketch and your design,
you're saying this is the best thing about my like my property, like that island is a sensational, that fireplace sensational, then I'm like, okay, it's all going around there. Like in the Queensgate one where you had that really nice wraparound sort of waterfall marble.
I like a waterfall marble island. I just think it's a bit more interesting. It's expensive.
Like,
it's another couple of grand of worktop.
So we use that like sort of color and that veining to sort of influence the whole sort of color palette and
And that was the ceramic. That was a ceramic. Well, you'll see. I think you'll see actually in the next run through of pictures. That was ceramic worktop. And the thing about ceramic worktops are like indestructible.
Yeah.
They're so expensive because they only come up to like 20 mil thickness.
Mm.
So you have to miter. So if you're going for a 40 mil worktop, you have to miter it.
Mm.
And it's like a real art watching them install them.
Yeah.
It's quartz is like your go-to cheaper worktop now. Marble's looks great, but
again, it's not the
not easy to live with. My mum, I put a marble worktop into my mum and dad's flat down in Dorset, and they really don't like it.
Well, you put a bit of wine on it.
It chips, and they're always drinking wine. They're always drunk, so that damaged. Just talking about dressing as well, in terms of, I think from a development point of view, in terms of how much it costs me to dress flats, normally it's between like 0.5 and 1% of the purchase of the end value. The GDV, gross development value. Almost forgot what that meant. And you know, I reckon it adds about 5% to the value. Mm. I really do. Maybe more. You know, like I think if I'd sold all the projects I'd sold without dressing them, we would have got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands less for them over the last 8 years we've been professional developers.
Yeah, I mean, I know I do it as a job, but I agree.
You agree? Good. Yeah, but you're not looking so much at the sale prices.
No.
So,
But also, one other thing that I was going to mention is, as much as like I'm looking for like what you want to highlight in a property, I'm also asking people what they want to, not mask, but what are problems that are sort of popping up. So say if they, sometimes people have had their property on a market for a while, And it's not getting any kind of like traction, and they'll call up and they'll be like, okay, like they've said this, it's really dark in the kitchen. Yeah. They don't know what to do with the living space. And yeah. like it's open plan. They can't see yeah. how you would use it. They've, you know, there's yeah. a million different things.
The house doctor.
Yeah.
I think if I wasn't a developer, I would, we do some advisory work on, yeah. sometimes people come to me and say, can I yeah. pay you to tell me why my house isn't selling?
Yeah.
We'll do it occasionally. But
yeah.
I think if I wasn't a developer, I would probably go into doing that, because
yeah.
it's like, there's so, people are so bad at showing their best asset.
I know.
You know, especially with rental properties. Like with rental properties generally, you want to get the tenant out. People don't want to lose yeah. like £1,500 a month of rent.
They don't. They want it quick.
But what you'll find is that you lose like 20, 30, 40, 50 grand of value yeah. if it's 400-500 grand, because
yeah.
not all tenants. Some tenants are great, but a lot of tenants, unfortunately, they won't keep it how you would, because yeah. it's not their home, which is fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
So generally we advise people to sell properties if you can. Yeah. Vacant.
Yes. Yeah. And then also I will also ask them, like, what's your worst room? What's your worst bedroom? What's the worst one?
And hopefully they don't say the kitchen.
No, but you know what I mean? Just so I can be like, okay, that we yeah. really need to like focus on yeah. that. If it's a really small bedroom, like yeah. how do you make this look better? Like yeah. rather than having bedsides, like could you do fitted wardrobes?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, could you have a desk rather than beds? Yeah. Like things like that. Yeah. Or so space saving kind of like tricks.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely.
To highlight well,
we're
the
We're going to see loads
corner.
Of your work soon.
Oh, God.
So, sorry, I didn't mean to cut
in there. You didn't run past the vision.
Yeah, so what we're going to do now, some people will be watching this on YouTube, but a lot of people will be listening on Podomatic and Spotify. We are going to go on to Apple as well. I've just been a bit rubbish and not done that, so I will do that as well. So we'll be a little bit descriptive verbally, more so than we would yeah. be if you were all just watching on
we'll try
YouTube.
Our best.
We'll try our best. Don't turn it. Don't
I'll
turn
maybe
off.
Maybe use like hands.
So we're going to bring up the first photo now.
Yeah.
So these are pretty much all projects that Katrina's worked on
yeah,
with me.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
do you want to say what we're looking at here and why?
Well, yeah. So this was your like main bedroom, wasn't it?
This was Leamington Road Villa's main bedroom, Road. Notting Hill, lower yeah. ground floor flat.
And this is where you did this sort of like built-in. You know,
this is the headboard.
Reeded paneling,
yeah.
And this is what we were talking about, and it's something that you use in all your developments, like just adding this. It ran across the whole room.
Yeah.
With the whole back wall. So again, instantly, yeah. that made it feel a lot bigger.
Yeah, and also it's cheaper. Right, if you're doing... I didn't do it because it was cheaper in this project. I just thought it looked better, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
But if you're doing a property on a budget, if you do a half-height panel, you can use a full-height panel, split it in half and do two bedrooms.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Or just do one bedroom and save half the money. And then you just put a little trim of wood on the top that we have. That's
again, really good for space saving as well. Yeah. So in this one, you know...
There's your bed.
That's my lovely
and
bed.
And your sculpture.
I have
There's
used.
A beautiful little like humanoid sculpture. Some of that, like, we even put a dog lead up the
we
other day. Because I was like, it's a garden flat. We may have someone
with
a dog.
Yeah, we put a dog bowl.
So we put a dog bowl and a dog lead up.
We went very... Yeah, we
you
went
know, you got to put the sails...
You've got to live it to believe it. Do you know what I mean? You've got to believe
that...
I imagine that I'm moving in there. And I'm like, what would I... Like, that's how far I take it.
I hope you don't move
it. Deluded. But yeah, it's good for saving space as well, doing it
yeah.
this way.
And I like the way in this picture there's we did like a diptych of paintings, so rather than just one big painting,
yeah,
just makes it a bit more visually interesting. And we've got a really nice wall light there, which has got the light the switch on the side in the reeded paneling.
And the thing is, you never really want to, when you're staging, you don't want to be too specific to a certain trend. Like, you're trying to sort of set the lifestyle, but you can't be like, because someone might walk in and like hate a color or like hate a pattern or hate a specific type of design. So you're kind of trying to like merge a lot of different things so it appeals to the most amount of people.
No, absolutely. Yeah. If we could look at the next one, because there's 14, so we'll probably we'll speed up a bit. But what we're looking at now is a little tiny internal courtyard of a garden flat. We did the same flat. Katrina chose this amazing sort of Mexican style outdoor rug.
Yeah.
I actually had...
You got a lot of comments from this one, didn't you?
I love this little terrace. Yeah. I think in reality, you're unlikely ever to have used it if you live in the flat.
Yeah.
People probably put mop buckets in there. I thought it was an amazing little terrace.
And it's the way it looks through as
well. Yeah, there's a big room. For those that aren't watching it on YouTube, there's a big window that looks through to the living room. Then you've got the sliding doors and the living room out to the garden. So you could lie in bed and look like 10, 15 metres out to the garden whilst lying in bed.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. We used terracotta pots, which a friend of mine has a beautiful flat in W2 and in Bayswater. And they put all these amazing... His wife's got really great taste. And I'm sure he does as well. Sam, if you're listening, I'm sure you do. but his wife has amazing taste, and she had all these terracotta pots. And I just thought, right, everything I'm doing now is terracotta. We use ivory decking, a bit different.
It's dark, the Mediterranean is taking over. We want. Yeah. I know we don't have the climate, but we want that here.
Costa del Notting Hill.
Costa del Notting Hill.
next one, please, on the slide. Your window bench. Above that beautiful, long cast iron radiator.
Yeah, I love that.
So this is, again, the same development, and we had this amazing
picture. And you can see the terrace and the bedroom through this image.
Yeah, the terrace
as well.
Behind. And we've gone for, in this, to make it a bit warmer and to make it feel more luxurious, we went for this wooden walnut panelling, which is actually acoustic as well.
It's really nice.
A great project. Yeah. Great product.
Yeah.
And it's on, like, acoustic backing, and then you have two or three centimetre wide slats.
Yeah.
But it's great because it soundproofs, it makes the room warmer, and it just...
It's great. People would be worried, I think initially people would be worried about putting the darker sort of paneling up, but it absolutely, like, made this area, didn't it?
Yeah,
completely
absolutely.
Anchored it.
And the window, I think window seats, as we said, are great. I think that cost about £400 to make the cushion, and then the cushions on top were included in your dressing. So.
Yeah, it takes it from like living area to like party area.
And that window, that massive window that we're looking at, is about 2 meters by 1.5 meters.
Yeah.
It was fixed. It doesn't open. I think I paid about £900 for that installed.
But so that completely transformed.
The whole thing.
Imagine if that wasn't there.
If that was a small window, we would have saved maybe £500.
It's the natural light.
Or maybe not even. Do you know what? If that was a sash window, it would have been £2,000.
Yeah,
and it would have been
crazy.
A quarter, a third of the size.
Yeah. I think people just want to feel
like... Let's look
like
at the next one, if we may, which is... this is just looking down and looking again at the low-profile glazing, how important it is to add natural light into a space.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can probably go on to the next one, though.
Yeah.
So this next picture is the picture of the drawing room at our development in Queensgate Place, which is to date the best development we've
done.
This
is one of my favourites.
Yeah, and Katrina dressed this. So you were saying about zoning.
Yeah, so I think the main thing in here, it is like a grand room.
Just explain what you can see if people are listening.
So yeah, we actually had to use quite a contemporary sort of low L-shaped sofa just to actually split the room, so you've kind of got your living space, you've got your separate kitchen, and then you've got your own sort of isolated dining area. I think what I love about this one is the sort of original features that you restored paired with a very contemporary sort of style sofa.
Yeah, we spent £40,000.
It's very
in this room.
Yeah, but it's very in at the moment as well, like in terms of trends. People want to mix old and new, and I feel like
That was actually designed 3 years ago.
And it still looks
awesome.
It
This is one of the few flats I've done where I look back 2 years later and I still absolutely love it.
And this was when Ben was saying, use more colour. So you've got a nice bit of artwork with a bit of colour in there.
And I put in two wine fridges, one for white wine, one for red wine. I should have put one in for champagne as well.
Yeah, because it's all about lifestyle. That's what you're selling.
And do you know what? The thing is, I knew this was always going to, this is in South Cairn. It was 2.3 million. I thought it was going to sell to someone who was wealthy, wanted it as a pied-à-terre.
Yeah.
And it was bought by someone who'd sold their business, made a lot of money, and wanted a pad in London.
Yeah.
And that is exactly who bought it.
Yeah.
And if we go to the next slide, just talking about that demographic, we in the family bathroom, what you can see in this family bathroom shot is when we have a quite a small bathroom, and I want to get a full roll top bath and a shower that you can't really stand in a roll top and have a shower because the water goes everywhere.
Yeah.
So we have this system that we've put in a few flats where we put it on like a raised up pedestal.
Yeah.
And we have a rainforest shower above, and we put a glass screen in front.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a good example of that.
And
it's a really clever
really
way
good.
Of getting the space. You can walk around either side of the glass to get into the bath.
Yeah. It doesn't feel small. It just makes it feel so much.
I don't. To be honest, I don't. I'm not a fan of the marble I use there anymore.
I think,
but
yeah,
at the time,
less,
I don't like the sinks.
Gray.
I hate the sinks now.
I know, but this is what.
But you know, he loved them, which is the main thing.
Yeah.
So the picture we're looking at now is the same development in South Cairn, and because I was pretty sure it was going to sell to someone who was going to use it as a pied-à-terre, who'd want a bit of a pad, we put this glass screen between the shower and the main bedroom.
Yeah.
So you could. It was a bit kinky,
a bit
naughty.
It was a bit naughty. But I quite like it.
Some buyers, I think younger buyers thought it was very cool. I knew that the buyer was probably under 50 that would buy the flat. So you tend to find British buyers get a little bit more funny about these things.
Yeah.
And like,
but again, I just feel like even just
you get like
light.
Swedish buyers, like, oh,
yeah,
amazing.
This is great.
You know, English buyers, like, oh no, we don't want to show off our bits in front of our wives.
Yeah.
But so this is like a whole full screen, literally where the shower is,
yeah,
bit impractical for cleaning, my mother would say. Mm-hmm. But there was it an electric amazing. Blind that yeah. came down in front of it for privacy. So yeah. I guess the thing is, who has the control?
Is
it the husband or the wife?
Yeah. Or, where are you going to leave the
husband,
remote?
The husband, who knows? So I thought it was quite fun. And yeah. it was certainly a talking point. It got people staying in the flat and they were I'm sure some people hated it and would have covered it up.
Yeah.
He's kept it because I've been back to the flat and he likes it.
Does he?
Yeah. He likes it. So, he's a great guy, actually, the guy who bought this flat. if we go over to the next lot, which I'll end. So the next picture we're looking at is the kitchen of the loft apartment we spoke about earlier in North Ken. You can see the brick,
indigo blue,
the brick
well.
Slip, and we made sure the brick slips only went up where the chimney was, so it looked real.
Yeah. And you just
sort
had
of pastiche and rubbish.
Yeah,
the kitchen is actually like a tealy blue colour. Mm. I can't remember the name of the colour from Little Green, but I had it matched. Mm. And then we went for a Corian worktop. I hadn't used Corian for like five, six, seven years at this point.
Yeah,
but I just felt it was a bit cooler in a loft apartment.
Yeah.
And if you look at this picture, and if you're looking on YouTube, what we've done is we've actually cut all around all the joists. There was a limited head height, so something very clever I think that was done here was we went around all those joists and we gained about 150 millimeters of head height all the way across. Now when you're standing at a kitchen, if you've got the majority of it that has these indents above it, it is helpful if you're tall.
It is, and it looks nice.
It looks
well.
Cool, yeah. And what we did is every other one we shot lighting down it.
Yeah, very
so
clever.
We really do try and put a lot of effort into making things a bit more special than a lot of developers who I find sometimes are a bit lazy with things.
It was lovely this. And again, this was the one that we were going for, like a slightly different market. So you know, a bit cooler, wasn't it? A bit more edgy.
And notice, and in this picture, we also had to. We had a nightmare trying to get an extractor for this hob because there was no space with the loft with the roof coming down.
Oh, that was a nice
so
touch.
We put this sort of cool circular one in the wall, which was manually switched.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the next picture, this is the same loft apartment, just showing off the brick slips.
Yeah. So again, this is when it started to sort of get. Was this when it was like everyone started working from home? So it was quite big to sort of get like.
We had a working. We tried to put studies in flats.
Working from home and studies. So again, we've done a few things like a working from home space and at the back of the room. Small sofa.
Again, it's zonal, isn't it? You've got living, dining, working, and then you've got kitchen.
Exactly,
and loads of glazing to get the lighting.
And you've got the skylight, and then you've got the window bench as well.
And on the next picture, we're going to move on to
this is one thing we've been good at, indigo blue, tiny bathrooms. You're good with space.
And spaces. Like we can squeeze a hell of a lot in, and we often will, for example, with basins, we'll recess them into the stud work so that you gain sort of 80, 90 mil of space. So this is the smallest bathroom I have ever designed.
Well, the sink is like a casserole dish.
I think you're underselling it. The sink that we've got in this bathroom, very tiny. It was 200 by 400.
Yeah. But it doesn't feel it when you're in there.
No, but I'll tell you what we did here, which if you can see it, it'll be more obvious, obviously. Yeah. But we had this very, above the basin, we put in a window cover that could slide out and had the mirror for the basin below it.
Yeah.
So when you weren't using the sink, it slid. It was like a pocket door mirror, and it went away. And that enabled, when you were standing in the hallway, to look through the bathroom and out the skylight and see the south-facing views of Notting Hill.
Yeah.
And that was the most thing I was most proud of in this bloody
flat. But also, I'm very proud of your mirror at the back of the toilet because, again, with that light coming through and that coming through.
Yeah.
Just completely open.
It was such a difficult bathroom to design, but we nailed it, and it was just super
clever design.
Small spaces are way harder to design than vast, multi-million pound flats because you just have no space.
Yeah.
The next one is Linden Gardens, which is our Notting Hill project, which was the first project you ever worked on with me.
Oh,
I'm so proud of this room. We did a study, a very dark, moody study, and we found this incredible floor underneath, like half a meter below it. And my builder spent 5 days, 10 days restoring. We got this crappy tessellated floor that was 140 years old.
Yeah.
And he turned it into, it looked like it had been laid by the Victorians
yesterday. Well, it's like super pop, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was amazing. And what we did is we put on a walk-on glass skylight across the whole study floor. So for those that can't see it, the whole floor is floating. We put an LED trough light around so it looks like it glows and floats. Yeah. And you've got this amazing original feature.
Yeah.
And you walk through that study and go out to your second roof terrace, which is one I talked about, how we got it from the council by hook or by crook. And then the next picture is the actual living space of the same flat. If we could bring the next, that's all right. And the next picture is the living space of the same flat. Yeah. So if you remember this flat, we had amazing 4 meter ceiling heights. This is zoned as well. You've got your kitchen, mezzanine above.
Yeah, and I would say you're sort of your mezzanine, and then the window detail that you added up there, that's your feature for this area. Yeah. Like, that is super cool. So we were like, we're going to run that sort of black contemporary through.
Yeah, absolutely. And for any of those that aren't actually listening, aren't actually watching, I hope you're listening. For any of those that aren't watching, go onto YouTube and search Developer Diaries and maybe watch the end of this podcast on there, because it's always, I know it's annoying when
bit of imagery
is quite good, and then you get to see our pretty faces as well. But I think, you know, I think that probably wraps it up.
Yeah,
thank you for coming in.
No, thanks for having me.
No, I'm really pleased that you came in. I know it's taken us a while to get together to do it. The next one of these podcasts will be airing in a month's time, I promise. You can hold me to that. And I'm going to be interviewing a very successful entrepreneur who's got lots of information to give us and lots of stories to tell. So thanks everyone for listening, and we look forward to seeing you next time.